The Energy Secretary, Ed Miliband, has been laying out his plans for clean energy. The government target is that by 2030, 95% of our energy needs should be met from clean sources. Here he is speaking on a visit to Hull this morning. This is what he had to say.
Our plans are for a new era of clean electricity to get us off fossil fuels, which have caused the cost of living crisis that so many people are going through. And that does mean we've got to build new energy infrastructure like onshore wind and solar. Because if we don't do that, we're going to still be exposed as a country to those fossil fuels, which have caused such damage to so many people across Britain.
Well, earlier I spoke to Chris Stark, who explained his role as head of Mission Control for Clean Power 2030.
Well, it's a very unique role that's within the Department for Energy, but also looking across Whitehall so that we can get all the various levers pulled and blockages removed to get where we need to get to by the end of this decade.
Ed Miliband talked this morning about the most ambitious reform of the country's energy system in generations. Can you tell us where you see the most obvious example of that ambition shining through?
The first thing to say is that we're really taking a hands-on approach to creating the energy system that we want to see by 2030, and that is something that is new, I think. Secondly, moving the planning regime to support that. And thirdly, we're moving some really big policies so that next year we have the biggest ever auction of renewable power that this country has ever seen. Even just those three things show you that we're really working very hard on this.
Well, let's say a word or two about the reform of the planning structure, which essentially means, and this was very clear from what Ed Miliband has said today, that he will be able to decide that something, whether it's a wind farm or pylons or whatever it is, should go through despite local opposition. Do you worry at all about the politics of that? Do you worry that that kind of thing could turn people against the whole package?
Well, I should say from the top that I'm a civil servant, of course, but I do worry about the politics of it. Partly what we're doing today, though, is being much more specific about why we need to do this and where this infrastructure needs to go. That will be a signal back into the planning regime itself about the priority that we're giving to these projects for 2030. And again, that's a new step forward.
And can you be clear about what the blocks are at the moment? Is it simply local opinion, NIMBYism, if you like?
No, I don't think that. Important to say that I think there are a number of blockages. Most of them are institutional. We have a set of very difficult barriers to overcome, notably in the planning system. The biggest barrier, though, is actually the way in which we manage the queue of projects to connect to our grid. So we already have in the queue more capacity than we will ever need for our energy system. One of the other big steps that we're taking today is actually to take a view on that and to say, no, these are the projects that we want, and set out ranges by technology in each region of the country that we want to see connected to that grid.
To be clear, what you mean by that, you mean sticking up more pylons, presumably, to do that?
There will be more pylons. I think it's important to say that, but I think it's also important to say that we're not carpeting the country in pylons, nor are we carpeting the country in wind farms. But this is really important stuff, that we have a very constrained grid at the moment. If we don't build, it will continue to be constrained and we won't be able to connect to that, the new energy projects that we need.
The trouble is that may be true in terms of the nation as a whole, but if you live where they're built, it won't feel like that at all, will it? And there's surely a danger that if a particular community becomes really incensed by something, it will colour the politics of the policy more generally. I know you said you're a civil servant, but that's something you've got to take into account.
Well, the government's very committed to the notion and the idea of community benefits and making sure that there is direct benefit to those communities that are hosting that energy infrastructure is a really key part of the plan that we've published. Yes, you're absolutely right. There will be some communities that see infrastructure where presently there is none. There should be a benefit to those communities.
All right, let's talk a bit more about the carrot as well as the stick, if you like. You talk about lower prices for people who accept, say, a wind farm in their area. What other kinds of things can you do to bring people along with this?
I think the story we've just spoken about, actually, of jobs and of the supply chain is the other big story that's playing out here. If we're to achieve what we need to achieve by 2030, we are talking about an investment program across this country, probably £40 billion of extra investment in our energy system each year to 2030. What comes with that is the opportunity to land supply chains and new manufacturing industries in this country, and we're working very hard to make sure that that is the benefit that we see. The biggest impact is, of course, the jobs. So those communities will see those benefits. We need to be able to say to people, take that course, retrain in that area, there's a job for you at the end of it. And it's a really tangible benefit that, again, we haven't previously been able to explain in those terms.
And in terms of everyday life, are there things that you will be encouraging people to do, like, I don't know, you know, running their washing machine in the middle of the night? And do those things actually, in the great scheme of things, really make a difference?
No one needs to change their behaviour for us to hit the targets that we set for 2030. There is, however, a group of people who are already seeing the benefits when you choose to do things in that way. So that kind of idea of what we call consumer-led flexibility, that is one of the ways in which we'll make our whole energy system cheaper. And we won't have to have as big an energy system if more people are willing to flex their demand in that way. No one's going to be made to do that, but I do think it's going to be one of the big opportunities that comes with a more electrified society in the future.
Chris Stark talking to me earlier.